Let's look at our Bibles this evening to the book of John, to chapter 6. The book of John, and in chapter 6, I'd like for us to read verse 59 through verse 66. John chapter 6, verse 59. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when he heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, "Does this offend you? What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come to me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him." In verse 59, once again, "These things said he," and he said these in the synagogue. "These things said he." We need to stop for just a moment and notice what he had said leading up to our reading beginning in verse 59. And I'll go back, won't cover it all, but I'll go back to verse 33 in the same chapter. John 6, and in verse 33, he had said, "For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst." Then in verse 37, he had said, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." He had said also in verse 44, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." Verse 48, Jesus had said again, "I am the bread of life." Verse 53, he had said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you." And then we read in verse 60, "Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, This is a hard saying, who can hear it?" When you read here about many of his disciples, this is not necessarily speaking of the 12, but those that were following him, maybe professing to be his disciples, those that were hearing what he had to say in verse 59 in the synagogue. When we read of his disciples, it's not necessarily limited to the apostles or unto the 12. But many of them in verse 60 said that this is a hard saying. And that word hard that is used here means it's difficult. It means it's even painful. It means it is a harsh say. The things that Jesus Christ had said, they viewed as harsh words. you look on down to verse 63, there are many today that find these words a hard say, difficult and even painful, painful to their own doctrine. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. I'm sure all of us have encountered people when you might use verse 63, speaking about the sovereign work of God in the salvation of sinners and giving them life, and you tell them, the flesh profiteth nothing. It's a hard saying unto them. To them, that is very, very hard and very, very harsh. In verse 64, but there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. He said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come to me except it were given unto him of my Father. And again, to many, that's a hard saying. It's very difficult to many when the words of Jesus in verse 65 totally exclude the free will of man in salvation. There are some that have the idea that they can be saved anytime they want to. You know, they could just set the date, the time, whatever, that they're going to do whatever they think they can do in order to be saved, and that's when it will be done. But Jesus said here, no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. And you'll note in verse 66, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walk no more with him. A hard saying. There are many hard sayings in the Word of God. In the words of Jesus, there are many hard sayings, not only here, but in other places. And then when you read the writings of the apostles, you find many more hard sayings to many. To them, some of the things that the apostle Paul wrote, as Peter said, are hard to be understood, and some find Paul's words to be difficult and even harsh. Hard sayings. Go with me to the book of Luke, if you would. I've said all of that to bring us to a hard saying that's recorded in the book of Luke, chapter 13. It is a hard saying, but yet it is the word of the Lord. In Luke chapter 13 and in verse 23, then said one of them, Lord, are there few that be saved? That's the question. That's the question that was put to him. Are there few that be saved? Notice his answer. And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and has shut the door, ye began to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know not whence ye are. Let me just stop here and mention something. When you find the words, Lord, Lord, most of the time it's from the mouth of an unbeliever. Lord, Lord. And we'll see more about that in a moment. In verse 26, then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know ye not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. Pretty hard words of Jesus Christ. Very difficult for many. When you read in verse 24, strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. That just completely confounds the theology of many today. That Jesus would say there are many that will seek to enter in and shall not be able. I've mentioned before the human race is divided into two groups, believers and unbelievers. That's the two groups that the human race is divided into. Many times you find the saved among unbelievers. And you also find many times unbelievers among the saved. Look in 2 Corinthians, if you would. In the book of 2 Corinthians and in chapter 13, in 2 Corinthians in chapter 13, reading verse 5, and again, just a reminder, he's writing to the church of God at Corinth, but speaking to members individually. And he tells them, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobate. Consider, he's speaking to the church at Corinth. And he tells them, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. And he tells them how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. The word reprobate means rejected. It carries the meaning of not standing or passing the test. Reprobate. Look in the book of 2 Timothy, if you would. In 2 Timothy and in chapter 3, 2 Timothy 3, we'll read verse 8. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Rejected. Rejected. If you look over to the book of Titus in chapter 1, verse 15, unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. No matter what they are doing, unto every good work reprobate. Look at one more place, if you would, and it's in 1 Corinthians. And it won't be long, Lord willing. Brother Justice is heading this way, so I'm not going to dwell here long. But I want you to notice in 1 Corinthians 9 and in verse 27. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 27. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway And that word is translated from the very same word, reprobate. It just gives us another shade here of the meaning, one who is rejected, just cast away, just cast away. It seems like, as Paul did write in 2 Corinthians 13 and in verse 5, to the church at Corinth, and he tells the people there, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. It seems like Paul was concerned that there were some in this church who were not saved. And he encourages here, even commands, professing Christians, members of the church at Corinth, to examine themselves whether they were in the faith. And back in Luke, and that's really my text, Luke chapter 13, I'm going to go back here and notice this hard saying of Jesus. In Luke chapter 13, again, verse 13, and you could read it all the way through verse 28 as we have. In verse 13, one of them said, Lord, are there few that be saved? Are there few that be saved? And Jesus gives an answer that is a hard saying. For in verse 24, he said, strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Notice that word many there, if you would. He was asked the question, are there few that be saved? And he goes from the word few to the word many. Now, keep that in mind if you would, and notice in Matthew chapter 7, Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And here he uses that word few again. And few there be that find it. Now when you read here in verse 13 and verse 14, and he uses the word destruction. Destruction. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. And then in verse 14, he uses the word few, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life. Notice contrasting terms, destruction and life. Destruction and life. We could say hell and heaven have the very same meaning here. That being so, there are many professors professing to be believers. Even, I think, as Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, there are many church members who are on the way to destruction. On the way to destruction. Notice in the same chapter of Matthew, verse 21 through verse 24, you should be very familiar with these words. He said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. You have professors here, professing to be one thing when they are another. Not everyone, he says, not everyone that wears the name of Christian is going to enter in. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And here's that word many again. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name and in thy name cast out devils and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. One of the strange things about Christianity is that many unbelievers want to profess to be Christians. That's just a strange thing to me. You know, you'd be hard-pressed to find a Christian that professed to be an unbeliever. But over and over again, you have unbelievers that profess to be Christians. And they do many things in His name. It's just an amazing thing to me. When you notice these in Matthew chapter 7 that Jesus speaks of, and again we could refer back to 2 Corinthians, those that Paul said, examine yourselves, speaking to church members. The ones that are being spoken of are not avowed atheists, and they're not what we might term the most vile sinners on the earth. We're not speaking about murderers and rapists. We're speaking about people that are professors of Christianity. And Jesus said there's many of them that are not going to enter in. There's many of them that are just not going to enter in. They're on their way to destruction. Now I'm going back in Matthew 7 again and read verse 13 and verse 14. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. And the question that he was asked is, are there few that be saved? But he gives an answer to that. There are many who are professing, but few that are actually entering in unto life. And people ought to be warned, cautioned. They ought to have to confront the very fact that professing a belief in Christ, being a church member, and doing many wonderful works is not a sign that you're saved. It's not proof that you're saved. Because Jesus said there's going to be many doing that. And I don't even know them. I don't even know them. And all of their works are no more than works of iniquity. I'm going to notice again here in verse 13 and verse 14 the word few and the word many. In verse 14, the way that leads unto life, he said, few there be that find it. Now, let me just go to Revelation for just a moment. In Revelation and in chapter 5, Revelation and in chapter 5, I want to read verse 11 and verse 12. John wrote, and I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders. The number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." I read this to point out that in verse 11, many times we have phrases in the Scripture and it's numbers that cannot be numbered. How would you put an exact number on these in verse 11? The number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Now if you look over to Revelation chapter 7 and in verse 9, "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man can number, of all nations, kindred, and people, and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands." Here's a number that the Scripture says just could not be numbered. It's just beyond human numbering. And they are termed here in verse 9 as a great multitude. But it seems in the answer that Jesus gave to the question that even this great number that no man can number is few in comparison to the many that are on the way to destruction. He called them few. And you go back again to Matthew chapter 7, and that's what he said. In verse 13, "There are many that are going on that way that leads to destruction." But in verse 14, there's only a few in that way that leads unto life. And the question that he was asked was, "Are there few that be saved?" Well, he gave an answer that I say again to many is a hard saying. It's amazing to me that many do not want to believe these words of the Lord Jesus Christ. They have a kind of a warped view of things. I remember hearing when I was very young that God and the devil were in a contest to see who could gain the most souls, who's going to be the winner in the outcome of things. And there were people that really hold to that view. Some actually believe that if there's more that go to hell than go to heaven, then God's a loser. There's many things wrong with that view. Basically, God and the devil are not in a contest. God said all souls are mine and he can do what he wills with them. He can do what he wills. But we know from reading the Scripture that God chose, even before creation, whom he pleased to save. I mean, he made that choice. Many years ago, I'll say again, I heard someone trying to explain the doctrine of election, and they were trying to harmonize it with Arminianism, and they got a real problem there. But they put it this way, that God voted, the devil voted, and you have the deciding vote. That was their view of the matter of election. That you have the deciding vote. Well, again, there's a lot of things wrong with that. You and I were too young to vote, because that happened way before the foundation of the world. The devil's not an eligible voter. He didn't have a vote in the matter. It's all of God. But somehow that strange idea about the matter of election, somehow the idea that the unsaved, the lost, belong to the devil. They do not. They do not. Somehow the idea that the devil is ruling over hell, and he's there tormenting people in hell. Well, that's also wrong. And one day the devil will join all unbelievers in the lake of fire. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and verse 14, there are only two ways. And you're either on one or on the other. One leads to destruction, the other leads unto life. And again, Paul said, examine yourselves whether ye are in the faith or not. And he told them, if Jesus Christ is not in you, you're reprobate. You're one of the rejected ones. Again, the two ways in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and in verse 14. Keeping that in mind, I want to mention what's written in Proverbs chapter 14 and in verse 12. In Proverbs chapter 14 and in verse 12, it speaks of a way here once again. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There are a lot of ways in the world of religion today that seem right unto individuals. In their mind, it's right. They know what they believe and they've been taught, and to them, it's right. And the Bible tells us here, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but we cannot lean unto our own understanding. Again, it's what saith the Scripture. These ways that seem right unto a man have their end, just like we read in Matthew, the end are the ways of death. Only two ways. In the book of John again, in the book of John, we know in chapter 14, and in verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way. I am the way. There's many other ways, but the other ways don't reach to heaven. He said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. You back up to John chapter 10. John 10 and in verse 1, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Now again, Jesus is the way. He is that gate that you read of in Matthew chapter 7. Here, He is the door in John chapter 10. Again, there are other ways, but only one way to the Father. All other ways, no matter what they may be, lead to destruction. It's very simple, really. If you're going to reach the Father, you have to go through Jesus, the way. You have to go through that gate. You have to go through that door. You remember back in Luke chapter 13? In Luke in chapter 13, in verse 24, strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Well, that ought to raise a question in our minds. Why won't these be able to enter in? Why will they not be able to enter in? And the answer, again, is very simple. They're trying to gain entrance some other way. They're trying to gain entrance in a different way. If you want to reach a certain destination, the way to get there is to be on a route that leads to that destination. I mean, it'd be foolish to think you can take a route going the opposite direction and reach your intended destination. You won't get there. You won't get there. Many want to go to heaven, but they want to go some other way than God's prescribed way. And it just simply will not work. Look in the book of Romans and in chapter 10. In Romans and in chapter 10, I'll begin in verse 1. Paul wrote, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." Now in verse 2, Paul said, these have a zeal of God, but it's an ignorant zeal. And it's a zeal that's not according to knowledge. A zeal for God. Just like those in Matthew chapter 7. "Lord, Lord, we've done many wonderful works in Your name. We've cast out devils in Your name. We've just done a lot in Your name." A zeal for God is no sure proof that an individual is saved. These, in Romans 10, were going about to establish their own righteousness. That's the very same thing many are doing today that are lost, but yet they're involved in a church and church activities, and they're caught up in all of that, and they're going about to establish their own righteousness, but have never submitted themselves under the righteousness of God. And Paul told the church at Corinth, and I think every member there would have taken it to heart, examine yourselves whether you're in the faith. Examine yourself whether you're in the faith. If that was not important, for church members to hear. Why did Paul tell the church at Corinth that? If it was a sure thing that all church members are saved, why would he have told them that? It would have been meaningless. Examine yourselves whether ye are in the faith. I'm going to go back and close again. I'm going to read in Luke chapter 13 again. In Luke chapter 13 and in verse 23, then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and has shut the door, ye began to stand without and to knock, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know ye not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know ye not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquities. There shall be weeping and gnashing of the teeth, when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and ye you yourselves thrust out. It's a solemn warning from the Word of God.